Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, prisoner advocate and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Juvenile activist Stephen Bobo is back with us to discuss his mission to prevent juvenile incarceration. People who have responded to his recruitment efforts nationwide and progress made thus far. Stephen is using his own experiences in previous years, both negative and positive, to prevent going down that destructive road to incarceration. Again, it takes a village to raise a child, but a nation to ensure this monumental miracle can and will happen. So let's welcome Stephen back. Stephen, are you on with us?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you again.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Okay. But
so you
like want to
let
said,
the audience...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Right now it's kind of slow motion. I did look into those people, the little things that I got from inbox from you. I reached out to two of them, and they're supposed to be getting back in contact with me this week. There are some things going on. I'll be doing too. Like I said, I'm going to the Capitol here in Columbus, Ohio, at the house, and they said that Bernie Sanders. His people are supposed to be there, too, so I get a chance to meet them, find out
all
what
right.
he thinks about the pipeline, things he's going to say about the pipeline, and plus incarceration with our people anyway, maximum incarceration. We need to talk about that, because that's another thing that worries me, too, is with all these youths going to jail, they're getting sent to the main pipeline. That's the main thing that I'm fighting for because there's no, like I said before, there's no reason that a child who's 18, 17, 18, even though they consider that adult, they might be adult, but mentally wise, they're not there to be going into the penitentiary. There's no reason for that. And that's the main thing that I want to stop because I don't want to see a 17, 16, 17-year-old going into the penitentiary rooming with a 35-year-old man. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Stephen, I'd like to ask you if you could tell the audience about prisons. What goes on in the prisons? What are the prisons like? A lot of people think that when people go to prison, they have luxury, you know, they have the best of everything. Can you just talk a little bit about exactly what happens in these prisons so that these youth, these adolescents can have some kind of an idea? Because I don't think they realize when they mess up how serious it can be for them if they go into a prison, not only by other inmates, but also by overseers. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, that's a great question. I know there's a lot of youngsters that don't understand. They look at what they see on TV, and it's nowhere near that. I was watching, the new TV, the TV show that comes on when they talk about Scare Straight. And it's kind of like that, but it's a little tamed down. Like it is, when I got booked in, you know, I was a CL. When I got booked in, they brought me up. Cameras were there because I was on the media. Depends on how bad your crime is, you could be in the media. The news will be waiting there for you. You never get a chance to really say what happened. They just ask all kinds of questions to make you look bad in front of the media. In front of the world who's watching you. You do that, you have to get booked in. They fingerprint you, take picture of you. If it's a bad enough crime, your picture will be on the newspaper. It's nothing what you see on TV. You get that one phone call, and who knows when you'll be able to get that. You don't never really get a chance to make it. You have to ask, can I make my phone call? And they'll say, yeah, you can make it. And it'll be a minute before you get to it. You get a sack lunch if you get in there around lunchtime. If you get inducted, you get put in at night. You don't get to eat nothing until that morning. And you'll be down there with a whole bunch of people. You're down there with people who've been on major crime. Could be for somebody, you could be in there with somebody who just got done doing a murder, multiple murders, drug dealers, pedophiles, bank robbers. It could be anything. That's the whole thing is they book you in. You're in the county jail. You're in there with everybody. I remember when I went to the county jail, my story in county jail is just something else. I went in. They put me in a cell with 8 or 9 different people. There was no bed to lay on. You had to sit on the floor. I had to lay on the floor because I got it booked in about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I had to lay on the floor, and I used a roll of toilet tissue for a pillow to lay my head on. And what's so bad about it, my head's right there by a toilet. And that's where the men were going to the bathroom. And so you know what was on the floor. It was a whole bunch of urine on the floor, and you still had to lay there. And if you wanted to get some rest, you had to lay on the floor because there was no place, there had no bed in there. So you had to make yourself comfortable. And you can't get comfortable on a hardcore floor. That's the bookend. And then they bring you upstairs, no matter what time it is, they're going to bring you upstairs, strip you out your clothes that you have in, you can put on the county blues. And that's when they the COs really push you around and talk crazy to you and stuff like that. Put you in a cell with whoever your roommate is. We don't know who your roommate is. I was lucky that I was on locked down type of thing because I was an ex-correction officer, so I couldn't be in with other people. I had to be by myself. That would be a danger to me because I was a correction officer. You will be in a room with another person. And most likely you'll be on the bottom bunk because they'll be in there before you, so they got the bottom bunk, so that means you have to go to the top. There's no ladder to climb up. You have to step on the table to get up into your bed. And the beds are metal. And you have a little bitty cushion mattress, and they give you one little towel. It's like a blanket, but it's a breakaway blanket, so you can't hang yourself. So if you any type of weight on it, it'll rip, and so you don't get no pillows. So you have to use you got a coat or whatever you got in there. You got to use that for a pillow to sleep with, because there's no pillows. There's no TV. You get a little table with paper and a pencil. And you have to buy your own paper or pencil for commissary whenever you get a chance to go get your money. And usually you're just in there. And then they buzz you for breakfast. And breakfast is horrible. It's not Bob Evans. It's not Denny's. It's not Perkins. It's county jail breakfast. It's watered down scrambled eggs. And I mean, it's made by powder. You get no meat. You get a piece of bread. You get some, like I said, scrambled eggs and grits, and the grits are really watery. And you get some type of juice, and you get a little bag of milk, and that's your breakfast.
Now we're talking county jail. Now usually when they go to county jail, how much of a sentence is that? I mean, that is under 2 years of a sentence.
Yeah, it's under 2 years. It's under a year. Usually it's under a year. You don't ever spend no more than a year in county jail. But prison, if you go to prison, you talk about going to prison, CRC, you go to, out here in Ohio, we have CRC. That's where you go for reception. That's when they give you all kinds of blood work, all kinds of blood. They draw your blood. They put your blood in the database. So the government always has your blood. So no matter what type of crime you do, they got your fingerprints, now they got your blood. So if you do anything and you leave a trail of blood, they know who you are. So your blood, never think that they'll never know who you are because they have your blood and your fingerprint. They do that. They cut all your hair off. If you have braids or whatever, they cut your hair because you got to take your picture. And so you have an ID with your prison number on you. And like I told you before, you'll know your prison number mainly more than your Social Security number. And that's another number that you're going to ask because that's how you get your mail. That's how you get to go to your visits because you got to tell your mail, you got to tell your prison number, and they don't care about your name. They just want to know your prison number. So that's how you sign all your mail. When you sign for mail, to get mail, they ask you what your prison number is. You're just a number. You're not even a person anymore. You're a number. So if you're Tom Joyner, you're Tom Joyner. You're Tom Joyner on the streets, put your prison number inside prison. They don't care who you are. So you will what's that?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What's so bad about it? What's so bad about it is you lose your identity when you go into prison because you're just a number. That's all you'll ever be is a number inside them walls. And I don't understand why these youngsters don't understand that you will not be anybody but a number. And that's what I want. That's my main thing I try to tell people. You are not. You're more than a number. You have a name. Your mother and father gave you a name. They gave me a name, Stephen Bobo. I'm not a prison number anymore. But you know what? I still know that I still know my number. I still know it. I say, and that's sad because I've been out of jail for out of prison for a minute, and I still know my prison number. And it's just so bad because I can't never. I can say I want to forget it, but you can't forget it because you always will know it because you had to have it everywhere you went. And I was only in prison for 2 years. 2.5 years. Well, think about the guys who've been in there for longer than that, 6, 5, 10 years, and they get out. That's all they know is that number. And that's what I wish these people would understand, that that's not how it's supposed to be. You're more than a number. You're a person. And I need people to understand that. Please understand that. Listen to me. Don't be a number. Be a person. It's because, you know, like I told people before, prison is made to destroy you. That's a prison made to destroy you, bring you down to a lower level, and you're not that person. You might have made a mistake. Fine, you made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does. But prison is made to destroy you and demean you. Don't let them do that to you. Don't even give them a chance to even put you there. Don't give them a chance to put you
and
there.
And that's what's so sad, because the Department of Corrections is known to – it's supposed to be to correct. It's supposed to be to rehabilitate. Mm-hmm. And yet it makes them worse when they go in. But what I was going to say is the sad thing about it is, first of all, people don't realize they've got, in this country especially, they have cameras in everywhere you turn. No one can get away with anything anymore. As you said, the DNA, they have the blood, they have all these things, and they have cameras at every streetlight. And these kids today, they're out there committing crimes, not even realizing they're on camera. And it shows it all the time on TV. So that's one thing. Another thing is it makes it very difficult for prisoner advocates to try to advocate for prison reform and to try to get, you know, help prisoners who have been in for years and years to have a second chance. When these kids in the community are all over the place, and there's so many. Crime has escalated so much, mainly because there are no role models out there anymore for these kids. So that's one of the things.
That's a beautiful thing you said right there, too. I wish the guys who do get out. But see, a lot of times they don't want to mess around with the kids, because a lot of people say, he's ex-inmate. You don't want to mess with him. You don't want to mess with him. But sometimes those are the ones you need to talk to, because they know what happens on the inside. Because if I go into a juvenile facility and just say, hey, I'm Stephen Bobo, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, are they going to listen to me? But they're going to mainly listen to me because they know that I've been there. I'm having more of be able to grab them and say, listen, you don't want to do that. And they were like, how do you know? Well, I was locked up. This is what I did. And, you know, I have no problem telling people what I did, because that's my story. And my story is that. And if they can accept that and set me into their fold, then maybe I can get to them and be able to let them know that this is not the place you want to go. Because they're mainly going to listen. They're going to listen to me quicker than they can listen to a doctor or a lawyer on the inside come to visit.
Yeah, that's true.
And
people with paper degrees, they have that piece of paper, they have that education, but they don't have the experience. And I'll tell you, I know, and you know, a lot of times people don't realize it can happen to them. It can happen in their family. People do not think these things can happen in their situation, and yet we're seeing it all the time. Crimes happening in communities where they say, This is a safe community. We've never had this happen before. A lot of us come from very safe communities, and it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone needs to understand that they need to be able to understand these kids. They need to be able to understand what's going on and try to be a part
That's
of the
so
solution,
right.
not a part of the problem.
That's so right. That's so right. That's what people – I didn't understand that either, because I figured that, you know, I was ex-CO, and I'm not going to get in trouble. When I did get in trouble, I'm not going to get no prison time because I'm one of them. I'm part of the blue blood. So I can't go – I'm not going to jail. I'm not going to jail. But that lawyer sure did sling that gavel down to me. I was going to prison. And like I said, then I looked around, and there wasn't nobody that I went to prison or I worked with in prison was out there in the crowd, you know, out there in the wait for me to come out. There was just my family, my wife, my best friend, and some other people. And that was it. Boy, nobody that I worked with that I went to prison So I worked with in the prison. None of them came except for seeing me in prison. They never wrote me. I was another person that they said, well, there's another one just messed up. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, if people don't need to understand that. It doesn't take long to make a mistake. You can make a mistake real quick, but guess what? It's going to be even quicker when they send you to prison. And I want these kids to understand that. You were, you know, like I said, your body, your prison might be in body, might be in your mind might be in prison, but your body might be in prison, but your mind's not. You know, they might send you to prison, but your mind can be free. Write what's going on, with what's happening with you. Write people. Let people know what's going on. Write your story. Let the other people know that your age, but they're doing the same silly things, that you can go back and tell them, you don't want to be in here. You're the one who's going to be able to reach them, because that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to reach them so they can teach the next set of people that might want to go in. You don't want to go in that way. Going the way I'm going is trying to help them. You know, somebody who's a young kid might be able to reach somebody who I can't reach because they're the same age. But they need to understand that this is not the way to go. Don't follow in my footsteps. Yeah. If you're going to follow my footsteps of what I'm doing now. Don't do what I did in my past. Don't do that, because it's not going to work out for you. Nowadays, prison is a lot different than what I went through. And I'm not an old school guy, but that's a lot different than what I went through, because these young kids now, you see it on the news. They're getting killed. You see it on Facebook, how these young kids getting killed in prison. So please kill these young kids. There's no more their age is something different. No, it's not. You get killed just like somebody my age can get killed. They don't care if you're a kid or not nowadays. These children need to understand this is real life out here now. This is not PlayStation. This is not Xbox. This is life. This is what it is. And they need to understand that one day, if you keep messing around with the sword, it's going to stick you.
Exactly. I think if they take that frustration and that anger, and instead of doing the negative things, if they put that in a positive thing, you know, come together, these adolescents could come together and try to, they're the voices for the future. They could come together and actually start making, demanding, you know, to do the right thing, to make changes in politics, make changes, you know, all over. This is what we need. The kids need to be heard, and they also need to know that they can do so, so much good rather than the negatives that they're doing. And there's so many lives that are being wasted because of these things.
I agree with you 100%. And that is so true. Because people don't understand, they just don't get it. They don't understand. It's the simple fact is, like what you just said, they need to understand. These young people need to come together. Stop fighting with one another. Stop doing all that type of stuff. Stop. And all these girls need to quit shaking their butts and stuff like that. Let's be women. Let's be women like our mothers were. Let's be like that. You know, I'm not trying to see everybody change who they are, but be better than that. You're better than that. Yeah. There's no reason no women should be acting like that. I don't want my daughter acting like that. I know there's a fact that animal has kids. A man who has a daughter, don't want him her acting like that. I don't want to see my daughter walking around half-dressed and stuff like that with men feeling all up on her and stuff like that. And every time a horn blow, you jump up and go run outside to see what it is. No. You have him knock on the door to come get you. You're a queen. You're not a prostitute. You're a woman. Don't do that. You know, that burns me up too. I see these young boys do that to these girls when they come pick them up for a date. They're going to blow the horn and expect them to run outside to get to them. No, not going to do
it. Well, you know, the girls, in cases like that, the girls need to show respect for themselves. What they need to do
is
if they're going to blow the horn, they don't go out to a car that they're blowing the horn. If they don't respect the women enough to go to the door and you know, knock on the door come out. You know, but some people, they're so insecure that they will accept that. And then that's how a lot of women, and I'm going to tell you, men as well, and I keep going back to this, because there are some young men who are very vulnerable because of the way they were raised. So
that's
why I say all the time, it's the way that the kids are raised, that they can cause someone else's child or son or daughter to fall just by the way they're brought up, because a lot of kids are rebellious today against their parents. But things is I'm going back to these prisoners who went in when they were young, when they were under the age of 25, and that have been in all these years. It's sad because with this new prison reform that they're doing and talking about the possibility of doing away with life without parole, especially for first-time offenders, it's something that I think they should consider. Instead of going retroactive, some politicians are saying they want to do it for those that are coming into the system. But they should also first look at those who went in when they were young, have been in for so many years, and deserve to have a second chance.
Right.
The kids today, they're so, like I say, they don't have the role models. They really don't. Even in our government,
no, they don't.
You know, all over, they don't have what they need, and a
There's
lot
nothing.
Of parents are out there doing the wrong things too. But
I really
would love to see them change their lives and try to do something positive, like make changes. The young people can make the changes, I know, because they would get the support from a lot of us, the older ones.
They would. They would, because for a fact, like I said, I'm supposed to be talking to one who's a product of the pipeline. I'll also be talking to them here in a couple weeks. He's going to come in on, they want to come on Facebook Live, and I'm going to tell them about your show and have them come in with me so that you can have them on your show too, because this is actually the people that we want to talk to, the people who have been on the pipeline that started out juvenile and went into the penitentiary, because those are people who actually know more than what happened than I can ever speak about, because I was a juvenile that went into the penitentiary. But I've seen the kids that go into the penitentiary being a guard. But the whole thing is, you being a kid who was in the pipeline and you were in the penitentiary, it's a whole different story with you. Because that's the people who we need to talk to, because they're the ones who can actually bring a whole bunch of light to what's going on there. Because people don't understand until they actually hear it. And they can hear it from anybody, but if you hear it from a child who actually went through it, that might actually ring a bell to somebody. Because you know what? Then they're like, you know what? I know a kid who was just like that. I know someone who was just like that. I grew up with somebody who was just like that. See? Then that's people who you can reach out to touch, and that way you can tell people your story. That way we all know what we need to do to help better for the next generation that's coming up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad too, because we have in the system, and they talk about this all the time, prosecutional misconduct. Mm-hmm. We have prosecutors that they come up, you know, they actually create things to bring the defendants, to bring them to look even worse than they are. Then we have a lot of corrupt judges out there, and I've seen it, and it's sad, because these kids, they may commit a crime, and they need to know also when they go to court, it's going to look 10 times worse than it is. Even if it's a bad crime, it's going to look 10 times worse, because they
sure
will
is.
Make it look worse. They're looking for life sentences, not just a pat on the
exactly.
shoulder or a pat
exactly.
on the back like you have with these politicians and these other people with power who get away with the same thing that these young people and even older people are being sentenced to.
Exactly
we
right.
We
have
the
inequality
when it comes.
And we don't. You're right. And a lot of these kids need to understand that when you go to prison or go to jail and they're going to treat you like an adult, you're going to get the maximum time, because they want to make an example out of you, because they're going to say, well, we don't want any more of these kids doing these type of crimes, and they're going to make an example out of you. Even if it wasn't that bad of a crime, they're going to try to give you the max plus and more. You know, because that's the whole thing. They're going to make an example of it, because you're scared when you go in there, and you're going to start trying to talk about certain things you don't even know. And please don't talk to nobody until you have your parent in there with you. If you get caught and you have to go to court or go to detectives, don't talk to nobody until you have your parent with you or an adult with you, or they can get you a lawyer. Don't say nothing, because they will make an example out of you and make you say things it didn't even happen. They're trying to make you say that you did something that you didn't even do. Because you're scared. You're just scared to death, because now you're in the limelight. Now you're in the line of thing. So you need people there with you that understand what's going on. Your parents might not understand, but they're not going to let nobody railroad their child.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a simple fact. These people need to understand. These kids sometimes don't even do the crime that they did because they're just scared, and they get suckered into saying something that they didn't do. And that's the whole thing about all these crimes and stuff against, it doesn't even matter what color they are. They're a child. Black, white, Chinese, it doesn't matter. It's a child. And they take advantage of these kids because they do not know. And people need to understand that. Don't blame everything on a child. Like you said, the lawyers, the detectives, the prosecutors, they're crooked too. They said, well, look, we got this kid in here, so we can put somebody on charge. We can put this case on them. They won't never know. And a lot of times that does happen. And a lot of these kids get suckered and doing stuff that's not right.
I want to say one thing. When I was growing up, and I'm quite old now, but one of the things when I was growing up, if anyone in law enforcement or anybody in leadership roles, anybody that was professional, that was overseeing others, if they messed up, they were the ones that were punished more so
because the judges
would say, you're supposed to be the role model. You're supposed to be the one that's showing a good example. So they used to get penalized. But today they can commit the same crime and they can get away with it because of who they are, because of the uniform
that's
of the
right.
leadership.
It's completely reversed.
And that's why there's no
it
role
is.
Models, because I remember police officers years ago, my father worked for one, and it wasn't on in the uniform, though. He worked for them in landscaping. But the police chief, the chief of police, and his name was Albert Hinckley, he respected. And back then, the police, like I say, they were, if they did something wrong, they were penalized more so than anybody else that did it, because they were supposed to be the role model. They were supposed to be the perfect example. And today,
that's right.
everybody's going haywire, and they're getting away with it
because
of who they are.
That's right. That's right. I remember back in the day when I was growing up, my mom and grandmother, we had a friend that was a police officer in Springfield, Ohio. He would come to the house when in his cruiser, come to his house in his uniform and come in and talk to me and play with me. And I always thought he was the greatest because, oh, man, he's a police officer. Oh, my God, you know, I know a cop. And, you know, and it was just so cool. And nowadays you don't see stuff like that. A lot of police officers won't even come to their house, because the first thing a police officer comes to somebody's house, you think they're in trouble. You know, see, that's what we need to get. That's nothing the police officers need to get back to. They need to reach out to these communities, these youths, and say, look, not all cops are bad. And I never say that. Even when I go on my Facebook page, I never say all cops. All police officers are not bad. But the ones that are bad, they make it look bad for everybody. And there's some decent police officers out there who could help the stuff that we're going through, that could come and say whatever, but they're scared to, because most likely they could lose their job for speaking out.
Yeah.
They see stuff. I know they've seen stuff. And like I said, they're just scared because that's their bread and butter.
And I know for a fact there are actually prison guards. There are prison employees that want to speak to someone outside of the prison setting. There's supposed to be investigations going on, and there's people in the prison that work for the prison that want to speak to lawyers, that want to speak to investigators. And you think the investigators will go in? No. You think the media will go in? No. They completely ignore it. So that's why a lot of these people that work for the Department of Corrections around the country, they don't want to say anything, because no one's going to listen to them any more than they'll listen to the prisoners. So the good ones are the ones that are being penalized for the wrongdoing of the bad ones.
People that's so
don't
true.
Listen.
That's so true. They don't at all. They don't at all. Because I remember when I went to in front of the detectives, and when I was in a CO, they asked me, is there anything that you know? Because I was talking about what's inside the prison. He said, no. Anybody you know on the inside, the inmates that have told you anything about other cases? I said, no, I don't know anything. And if you don't want me to tell you about anything that happened with the other guards, would you want to tell me about somebody else inside the prison? I can't do that. I can't do that because I don't know the whole circumstance. I don't know if you guys did something or planned something. I'm not going to tell on somebody that I don't know the whole story. But I just wasn't going to do it because I feel like I'm going to catch 22 right now. I'm going to catch 22 now. I'm about to go inside. That's right.
They're investigating their own. They need the independent investigations to go on from the outside in. But Stephen, we're going to be running out of time pretty soon, so we'll pick this up next Friday at the same time. But do you want to let everybody know once again when you're going to be speaking at the State House, and anything else you want to say before we end?
Yes, ma'am. I'll be speaking in the State House next month on the 12th or 13th, I think it is, of September. And I'll be right there here in Columbus, Ohio, at the State House, the Capitol Building here in Columbus, Ohio. I'll be speaking there. My name is Stephen Bubble, STEVENBUBBLE, BOBO, or look me up on Facebook. I have pictures up if I'm there with Bernie on his crew. And as like I said, I've really been taking this as a very, very big, big thing for me because, you know, coming from an inmate and coming out and being a CO, ex-CO, inmate, and actually doing this type of stuff, I'll be able to talk to somebody in who is willing to listen, and maybe we can get some changes done. So that's exactly what I want to do. If you guys have any questions you want to ask me or any questions you want me to at least I can pass on, inbox me, let me know, and I will definitely tell them because I'm not scared to tell nobody anything.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Steve, and once again for being on with us. You've been a blessing, and we hope to see you and hear from you next Friday, same time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you
once
so much.
Again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.